So they say you should never meet your heroes, but this mini interview is proof that sometimes you absolutely should. At 20 minutes, this is more of a bonus blether than a tidbit, or rather a double tidbit. But I didn't want to cut this any shorter because there's so much in this conversation with the legendary Laura Belbin. It's literally all of the emotions, laughing, crying, and crying, laughing. So do be warned. We cover some really sensitive topics. So before listening, please have a read of the description where you'll also see a link to reach out for free and immediate support. There's also loads of swearing, absolutely loads. This total legend tells it like it is, in the name of shame eradication and solidarity. Enjoy. Honestly, I just love everything that you do. I think there is so much power in what you do. It's empowering what you do. And then I saw that your new tour is called Too Much.
Yes.
And the first tour I did was called The Too Much Tour.
No.
And I was like, I am sorry. We are cut from the same bit of cloth.
You're the OG. I'm the fucking copycat.
No, there's no copycat. I think we can just agree that there is a certain type of person that comes with a too much label.
Oh, yeah.
And owning that is empowering for all. I think it's amazing. So how, I know that you've talked a lot in your books and on your platform about this kind of feeling that so many of us share, which is being labeled too much, feeling too much, but then at the same time, also feeling not enough. So why don't I set a timer for 10 minutes and see what pearls pour out of you, okay, if you're happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. let's give this a bash and see where we end up. Things on such a fucking tangent that there is no guarantees that after 10 minutes, where the fuck we'll end up.
Let's see. Right, start the timer. Go.
So, the reason, and I really love the fact, actually, it's almost like I've written a bit at the end of my show and I'm in two minds about whether I keep it because it's actually a bit deep and it's a bit personal about this. So the fact that even from that title, you have picked up on exactly why I called it Too Much is just beautiful, because that, you've kind of, you know it without even knowing it, but it's not even about the too muchness of being loud. It's the too much of not enough. It's the too much of, you know, you're too weird, you're too ugly, your teeth are too big. It's the too of everything. It's this idea that you are never quite enough, that whatever it be, whether it be that you're too loud or you're too quiet, you are still just not quite enough. And I really have resented this because it has damaged me beyond repair at points where I have felt like I'm wrong, I'm bad, there's something broken about me.
Taking up too much space.
Taking up too much spaces. And I think for me as well, so I am quite extroverted, but there is an element.
No.
There is an element of me that's very introverted.
Of course.
So I'm very performative, and I think I've learned more about myself as time's gone on and as I've got been in therapy, as I've actually truly got to know me, and not yet what everybody else thinks of me, is that actually I can flick on the performance in a heartbeat, but actually that takes so much of me. And so many people won't know that because they'll look at the surface level and be like, oh, God, she's just so, you know, too loud is definitely one of the things. Too outspoken, too bossy. Just sit for 1 second and I will guarantee that you can pick out at least one, if not five things quite quickly off the top of your head where you've been called too much of something. And it might not necessarily be the too loudness. It could be that you're too overweight. It could be
too sensitive.
Too sensitive. Yeah, like, all of these words are so fucking negative and they have had such a massive negative impact on my life because it has made me believe that fundamentally I'm just broken and that there's something horribly wrong with me. And even to not being, but she's just, you know, she's not funny enough, like that, that even that. And then going through this journey of saying, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to go into stand-up and I'm going to take this back. I know that you'll know this, but people that are listening won't. And that is that 3 years ago, I've had a lot of breakdowns throughout my adult life, but the one that I had 3 years ago, it was nearly the end, very, very close. And my husband had to take 4 months off of work to take care of me and our children. It was, there's nothing I can actually place it to. There's no other comparison. It is something that I still live with horrific trauma over and dread and fear. I'm working through all of that. And that moment, I guess, where I was this broken person. And this is the bit that I've kind of put at the end of my show, and I'm not 100% sure whether to keep it in or not, because it's kind of a tribute to her. And that is that I promised that version of me 3 years ago that if we ever got out of this alive, oh, I'm going to get upset.
I'm crying now.
If we'd ever get out of this alive, we were going to promise ourselves that we would just live and enjoy it because we deserved it. And I feel like 3 years ago I was reborn, really, in many respects. I look back at that person now and I have so much love and gratitude. She got me so far, but a lot of that person had to die for me to survive and for me to be able to move on, and she had to let go of a lot of things, and she had to address a lot of really painful things that happened. And I've learned a lot about myself in these 3 years. So when this opportunity came up to do stand-up, I never felt, even, you know, 18 months ago when I first started, I didn't feel enough. I felt like maybe I was just kind of too much of nothing really at all, I think is the best way to describe it. And so when I went into stand-up, and I had this really beautiful welcome and it was so positive and everything went so well, in that moment, I thought, fucking hell, Laura, actually, you've never been too much at all. You've actually been spot on. If anything, you've been exactly who you were meant to be in that moment. And that's been really wonderful. Quite sad because I'm 40 and I've only just found that out about myself. Something that has wholly changed me for what I thought I was meant to be, the expectations that were put on me that I didn't ask for. I didn't want them. I wasn't looking for them. They were put on me and I then had to live up to them. I write every show and everything that I do comes from a deep burning passion to translate on stage to other women to feel less alone and to feel less ashamed. We are all living this to some version. I see those women show up day to day and the expectation. It could be that woman that shows up in the playground and she is always pristine and everything about her life is always showcased as perfect. And ultimately, I look at her now, whereas before I would have felt such envy and I would have thought, oh my God, how do I get there? I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. And now I look at her and I have a level of like silent respect for her because I think, shit, something is so hard in your life that you have to hide all of it under this guise of perfection. And I have high levels of perfectionism in me. It ain't with fucking housework, mate, and it ain't with personal appearance. But when I give something, I have to give 110%. So I set the bar fucking ridiculously high. So all these ideas around showing up as you are, and then you walk into that room and you've shown up at the best way that you possibly can be, and someone says that it's too much, it's too sensitive, it's too vulnerable, it's too ugly, it's too weird, it's too odd, it's too loud, it's too noisy. There are a million different words that can relate to that. So this show is paying homage to all of that. And it is such a personal thing for me because it's almost like the biggest middle finger that I can give in the most comedic way to being like, fuck all of it. I'm going to talk about fucking everything. And I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit if someone says, oh, that's too much. No, I'm sorry. That's too much information. No, it's not. Because you know what? There will be at least one fucking cunt in the audience that will go, thank fuck, it's not just me.
Yeah.
My last show that I did, there was a bit, and I ad-libbed it. it wasn't even written in, and I was doing the tour, and it was about after you have sex, he's come inside you, you're trying to get to the toilet, all the cum's inside, and you have to do the shuffle to the toilet so that it doesn't get on the carpet, because you fucking hate standing on cum on the carpet. It's like stepping on a fucking sock, mate. Like, I did that, and I reenacted the scenes, the roars of applause and laughter, and women going, oh my God, I thought that was just me. It's like, no, it's not just you. We all do the cum walk to the fucking toilet. And then he stands in the corridor holding his like wobbly willy that's no longer erect anymore. And you're both looking at each other and you're just waiting for the fucking cum plot to go out into the toilet with a bit of a fanny fart. Like, it's just so much our lives, isn't it? It's everybody's, but it's ugly, and it's not ugly, it's normal.
Yeah.
But we don't like to admit those things because they seem dark and
yeah,
a bit odd, and like no one else is talking about it. And I get it, like the fear of saying something and it just falling dead and people being like, no, that doesn't happen to me. It's horrific. And fuck knows I've been in those situations a million times over where someone's like, no, that doesn't happen to me. Or like, I remember saying once, like both the kids, they were still fairly young, you know, Toby, he hadn't even started school yet. He was probably 2 maybe. And I said about the fact, sometimes I don't sleep with my husband from 1 month to the next. And the woman that I was speaking to said, oh no, I have sex with mine every night, and I have done for our whole 23 year marriage. I felt the horrific. I was like, it still stayed with me.
Yeah.
All these fucking years on where I've just thought, oh my God, I don't have sex with him enough. Like, shit, I'm not a very good wife. Why is my sex drive fucked? Like, what's wrong with me? Without being able to take a step back and go, I'm going to round of applause to you. Well done. But I don't do that. And actually, that's okay. And it's okay. Totally normal. It is far more normal to be in a long-standing relationship and not fuck on a nightly basis than it is to be that person hanging off their fucking cock like a bloody mountain climber. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not. I'm tired. I'm fucking exhausted. My mental load is through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't just be turned on because you flicked the fucking lights off and got your willy out. It doesn't work like that. So I just think normalizing being a woman is so, I've become so passionate about it. I don't want women to feel alone, because I felt the excruciating pain. And I would say that is the best way to describe it. The excruciating pain of trying to navigate life as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, all of these things, and feeling like I'm failing at every single one of them.
Yeah.
Because I didn't actually realise, I didn't get the fucking memo about the fact that we weren't meant to nail all of it. And ultimately, how the fuck can you show up for other people if you don't show up for yourself?
Oh, that's the one, isn't it? So I can literally talk to you about this all day, and you've had me in tears about 3 times in 10 minutes. So this podcast, it used to be a duo.
Oh, okay.
And it's now just me because my co-host stepped down to focus on her degree.
Oh, okay.
And I had a nasty review last week that said it's shit now. And so it was really funny how much of it played back in of like, you're not enough on your own. You're not enough on your own. You're not enough.
There is advice that you will get, and someone will go, oh, just move on. Don't worry about it. Just, well, you know that it's not true. And so you're left afterwards with this sinking feeling that you're being hurt by a negative comment is a bit pathetic, a bit silly, a bit immature. Why are you worrying about it? And so all of a sudden
you've done that wrong as well. You've done that
wrong. You're expected.
Yeah.
Stop feeling. Don't feel. Yeah. Don't worry about what that person said about you. I implore you to feel like a fucking human being and pat yourself on the back for going, I just got a nasty fucking comment and that hurt, which means I've got a beating heart and a pulse. You know, I also have a podcast with my life wife, Vic. And we used to, sometimes some of the reviews were so hilarious that we would read them out. And then sometimes we'd get like, obviously you'd get the occasional nasty one and we would read them out and rip the shit out of them. But ultimately it started to have a bit of a niggling impact on us going, questioning. Oh, maybe
they're right.
Maybe we do need to censor ourselves a little bit more. Maybe we are too much. Maybe
mind your neck in.
Why do we? And then we made this decision like, fuck no. We are not allowing them to get into this space. So I think it's about the measures that you put in place. Now, this is not just online life, okay? This is every single walk of life. This is this is the passive aggressive friend. This is the workmate. This is the office office gossip. It is across the fucking board. It doesn't matter where you go in life, and it doesn't matter where you are and how people will just bury down on you. It is about acknowledging the fact that fucking hurt. I don't feel like I deserve that. But then it's about doubling back down on yourself even more and going, but who am I? And how do I impact those people that do matter? There is a red pen. They will tell you it is fucking blue. They will never, ever agree with you. And it doesn't matter what you do. You could probably save them from a burning building and they would still go back to fucking hating you. Ultimately, their issue with you runs deeper than you. And that's really hard to get your head around, because in that moment, I've been there where you go, oh my God, maybe they're right. Like, maybe I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just disappear. Maybe this isn't the right career for me. Maybe I'm doing it all wrong. Like, this whole idea over who we are as people and allowing some fucking stranger or some shitty person in our life that doesn't truly know us and value us is allowed to take hold over who we believe we are as people. Fuck that. But I really want to just say, I think the most important thing that you can give to yourself is kindness, and just say it's okay that this hurts, because that it's meant to. It's meant to be painful because it's unkind. It is human nature. It is human nature that if you had 100 positive comments and you read one negative, you will focus on the negative. And that is across the board. That's just the way that our brains work. Because you know what? I have been at the dregs of life. I have clung on for life with my bare knuckles. I have no idea I'm still here, to be honest with you. So
experience is really similar. And it's funny because it was at a similar age as well.
Really?
Yeah. I always say I had a nervous breakdown. I think it was like really intense burnout, but it was like clinging on and day by day. And it's not a nice phrase to use, but I always say I was fighting for my life.
Even though I didn't have that,
but that's what it was like. It was like a literal fight to crawl out of that. Yeah.
And unless you've experienced that, you can't describe it, can you?
No.
Because I can't describe what I went through.
No,
there's no way. No. And like Steve, obviously, in the most excruciating way possible, he saw it about each day and the impact that then had on our relationship and had on him too. But I think that we've both been in this place, and you can obviously relate to that. And I know that there will be other people listening to this that will be able to relate to it too, of being in this really, really dark place where you just think, I hate myself. I don't want to be here. I want to get better. So even at my absolute fucking lowest, I've never been that fucking low that I have gone, I'm going to try and destroy someone else's life.
Yeah.
And ultimately,
take you down with me. Yeah.
Let's acknowledge the fact we are not meant to fucking like everyone. I don't like everyone. There are some people I'll literally meet and I'm like, you're a cunt. Immediately. I can suck it. It seeps out of them.
No, because I hope that you did.
Hey.
Do you say it? I feel like you're a can.
You're a can. No, but I'll pick up quite far. I didn't used to. I was shit. I was a people pleaser. So I fell in love with everyone that I met, and I'm getting better now. And again, because I'm able to stand back and kind of like survey situations a little bit better before I get into them, to stop making myself fall into the same stupid fucking mistakes of being around shit people. I can pick up a vibe. It's a gut, I think. It's my gut feeling. My gut feeling will go, no, Laura, stay the fuck away. And I think that's okay. Like,
Kiss is like a cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Back the fuck off. So again, and it will be the same online. So again, I'm going to reiterate this, what I've just literally said. It's like I'm trying to fucking hypnotize everyone. It's like Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee.
Go on.
So I'm going to reiterate what I've said, and that is that you can dislike people. That is your God-given right as a fucking human being. We are not all designed to meant to be the same, and we're not all designed to meant to like each other, and that's fucking okay.
Yeah.
But the line that we all have to sit on is what we do with that. And if you're trying to destroy somebody as a direct result of your hatred, you need to go to fucking therapy, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you need to look at yourself, because that's the bit that's not normal. And like, don't get me wrong, I fucking love a gossip. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh my God, like, I'm just so above it. I'm not fucking above it. If like Brenda's fucking husband slept with fucking Sheila down the road, I want to know.
No, not Brenda and Sheila.
Exactly. Do you know, I want to know. Because again, that's human nature.
It is human nature. It's messy. We can all be wrong.
Yes.
We can all be judgmental. We can all fall down. It's about your intent. It's about trying to be kind. And when you are triggered as fuck, figuring out why and addressing your own stuff rather than lashing out at others. Absolutely.
And like, I did a tiny little bit of work on shadow work. I don't know if you've heard of it. The Carl Jung theory of like the dark side of the sort of less desirable side of every human being. So it's like jealousy, envy, anger. I found that really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it actually gave me permission to sit there and go, oh yeah, I do have those bits of me. And in actual fact, from that now, I've noticed that when I'm being triggered, because I'm thinking, I feel inferior to that person, that person's more successful than me. You know, maybe they look like they have a better life than me. Maybe they just seem like a better person and I envy them. And I go, oh, that's, I envy you. So I'm going to step away. Because in actual fact, that's not your fault.
No.
You go, honey. You go. You carry on fucking striving and getting what you need to get. But I'm going to have to, even if it's just for a minute, step away and have a fucking conversation with myself.
Have a word, because the truth is that envy can be such a useful tool.
Yeah.
Because it can show us, oh, actually, I want that thing. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
It's not an invitation to, tear somebody down, because somebody else having something or achieving something doesn't take that away from you.
No.
And so you don't need to take that away from them either.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're so deep here today.
I know. So fucking deep, darling. So deep. But it's true, though. And I just think, normalize all of it. Just normalize it. And there will probably be people that will listen to this and they fucking love you and they champion you all the time. But they will be a cunt to someone else on the internet. And you're like, that still isn't okay.
That's still not okay.
Liking me but being a prick to somebody else is still not all right. It doesn't work that way.
It really doesn't.
We still have to apply the same logic as stepping the fuck away. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, not at all. Not at all. God even knows what I was going to say. Shit pulls out of my mouth all the time. I don't even know. I'll be halfway through. I don't even know what's going up. So here's a joke for you. As you probably heard, that interview could have ended around about 10 minutes. And then I was so moved by Laura's words and inspired by her vulnerability that I shared my own vulnerability. And when it came to editing it, I still felt quite raw and quite personal and a bit heavy. And I finished editing it and I was about to go through to my husband and say, do you think I should just cut that bit out? And when I was just about to go through to ask him whether I should remove the ending, I realised what I was about to ask him was, is that too much? Didn't write it, hey? But I kept the ending in, and I hope that Laura will keep her vulnerable ending in, because it's amazing and she's amazing. And I'm definitely going to go and get a ticket to go and see her show. I think you should too. And I also think that you should come and get a ticket to my show, the last ever ADHDF tour before becoming a charity. And, being a little bit more professional, a little bit less ladle wavy. London is already sold out, but there are tickets available for all the other shows starting this Friday in Glasgow before we start heading down south. You can also put your name down on a waiting list just in case any London tickets become available closer to the time. And there's also a list to sign up for that welcome party, so that anyone coming solo can be greeted at the door by our welcome party and seated with like-minded legends to make local connections, so you can come alone and leave with friends. It hasn't all been plain sailing lately. It's been amazing doing a lot of interviews, but I am in the thick of it a bit right now, which is another reason why I've put season 3 on pause for a little while, just while I figure it out. I don't know how long it will be, but I promise you it's worth the wait. I have actually recorded most of it and just not quite ready to put it out yet. But I just want to end by saying thank you so, so much to the Planet ADHDF community for lifting me up when I was really, really down this week. That's what the peer support community is for. We all lean on and learn from each other, and I am part of that community. I'm one of the peers, so peer support for the win. And I really look forward to seeing all of you very soon who are coming to the live shows. So I hope that if you haven't already, you can come to the same realization as Laura. I'm talking to myself as well. She came to that realization that she was not too much and was exactly what she needed to be, and can now have so much love for the person that she was, that broken person that she felt. We can all come to that realization and show ourselves that love and appreciation that we all need and deserve. I'll stop now because I really better get on with finishing tour prep. Bye.